give my unwavering support to the budget address, an estimate of expenditure presented by the Honorable Prime Minister for the fiscal year 2010-2011. Mr. Speaker, this budget provided a spread of the various projects, activities, and interventions to be undertaken to improve and help fulfill the lives of our people, more so those who are socio-economically deprived. The total amount of $1,210,911,400 was distributed among the various ministries to ensure that various programs are undertaken that will be beneficial to the people and country on a whole. The Ministry of Education and Culture allocation has shown an increase over last year in both recurrent and capital expenditure. Recurrent expenditure moved from $148,432,538 in 2009-2010 to $155,929,000 in 2010-2011, whereas capital expenditure moved from $20,185,900 in 2009-2010 to $26,987,830 in 2010-2011. This increase in capital expenditure in the sum of $6,801,930 will enable the Ministry of Education and Culture to develop some of the critical infrastructural requirements for the delivery of quality education through the implementation of the various plan programs that are envisaged in the Education Sector Development Plan for 2009-2014 and beyond. Some of the programs have been implemented, they include the integration of the ICT in the curriculum in primary and secondary schools, building capacity within the education sector, initiatives to decrease deviant behavior among youth and increase a sense of civic responsibility, technical vocational education skills and training. Mr. Speaker, although there was no significant growth for the fiscal year 2009-2010, I can say that despite various attempts to destabilize the economy, this government was able to keep its buoyant and on course. The global economic situations and conditions also made it very difficult for the government to operate at its optimum. However, I must say that in spite of all the odds, we were able to achieve the theme of 2009-2010, and that is generating growth, securing jobs, promoting competitiveness, and protecting vulnerable citizens in the face of global recession. This year's budget theme is indeed very apt and applicable. The road to recovery, engineering growth, engendering social cohesion, and building resilience to external shocks. Government was able to provide various incentives and stimulus packages to SSDF and HOPE, and to timely constituency projects that were helped to be financed by the Taiwanese embassy. Such stimulus should be continued in this fiscal year to prevent the economy from stagnating and to ensure that there is sufficient liquidity. The introduction of constituency projects through parliamentarians by the Honorable Prime Minister is a welcome innovation that would add impetus and impact positively on the various communities and on the economy generally. I must at this juncture express my sincerest gratitude and that of the people of my constituency, Mikut South, to the Embassy of the Republic of China, Taiwan, and its government for their generous financial contributions to various projects within the constituency. Your assistant, Ambassador of Taiwan, is deeply appreciated. Yes, Mr. Speaker, before I move on to matters of my ministry, I would just like to make a few comments regarding the presentation made by parliamentary representatives of Castries State. When I listened to the member, I thought that the member sounded like an alien landed in the world, that he knew about anything that surrounded him. He didn't know about what was happening in St. Lucia. He didn't know about what was happening around the world. And therefore, he was able to blame the government for everything that happened in this global economic recession. But I want to tell the member that although we did not have significant economic growth, I want him to flash back a little and remember that during his years on that side of the house, that his government, when things were good, experienced negative growth on many occasions. They even experienced negative growth of 4.5% around 2002 to 2003. You will check it, member of Caucasus East, and you remember what was blamed for that? 9-1-1. Even the production of bananas during that time was blamed on 9-1-1. I want you to remember this. I want you to check this out. I wish to present an abridged version of what we have done, what we are doing, and what we hope to achieve at the Ministry of Education and Culture, taking into consideration our strategic plan, or what we call the Education Sector Development Plan for 2009-2014 and beyond. This strategic plan was formulated with contributions and inputs from the various units and departments of the ministry. Let me take this opportunity to thank the various heads of departments and units and their staff for their cooperation and enthusiasm to ensure that much success was achieved in the implementation of the strategic plan and policies. The Ministry of Education and Culture is a multifaceted unit that constantly is confronted with varying problems and issues. As we attempt and endeavor to solve and address the ensuing problems and issues, others pop up with varying dimensions and magnitude. Sometimes we are overwhelmed, but with selfless service from most of our officers and their strategic interventions, we have been able to keep the flagship of the Ministry of Education afloat. The administrative staff cannot do it alone, and so we cherish the valuable assistance and service that have been rendered by each and every individual who works with the Ministry of Education in our quest to achieve our objectives and stability within the education system. The Ministry of Education and Culture's main focus in 2009-2010 was on improving the quality, relevance, and diversification of education, as highlighted in the Education Sector Development Plan, which I mentioned, of 2009-2014. In that regard, a number of key policy objectives and strategies were developed. The following outputs reflect the Ministry's achievements for the fiscal year 2009-2010 as prioritized in the Education Sector Plan. And under Information Communication Technology, the following were achieved: development of draft ICT policy and strategy for education, development of ICT curriculum for primary and secondary schools, use of software packages in teaching and learning accompanied by the requisite upgrade, expansion of infrastructure of science, ICT, laboratories, full implementation of education management information system for all secondary schools, increased outreach to schools and satellite agencies, procurement and distribution of interactive whiteboards for a number of our secondary schools, internet connectivity database, upgrading and redesigning of the Ministry of Education network, procurement and installation of new servers, redesigning of the ministry's website, improvement of schools' cable networking, installation of wireless networking at some schools, Ministry of Education domain name re-registration in use, in-time workshop training phase orientation, an electronic database to meet the requirements for the Caribbean Certificate of Secondary Level Competence, CCSLC, program, and for recording, archiving data from external and key stage local examinations. The Ministry of Education hired a total of 591 teachers. 438 were reappointments and 153 were new appointments. Persons who received study leave with pay awards for educational programs from 2007 to 2009. Generally, 2007 to 2008, 27. 2008 to 2009, 18. The Bachelor of Education, Sir Arthur Lewis Community College, 2007 to 2009, 32. Certificate in Education, Sir Arthur Lewis Communication, 2007 to 2008, 47. 2008 to 2009, 33. Diploma in Education, in service, Sahara, 2008 to 2009, 20. Upgrading to higher positions. The ministry was able to upgrade in September 2007 158 teachers. And in September 2008 to January 2009, 191 teachers. Technical vocational education and skills training. Implementation of the OECS Skills for Inclusive Growth Project. Accreditation Council established. New industry advisory committees established. Implementation of CDQ in selected secondary schools. Development of a national TVET framework in line with CARICOM. Introduction of the CCSLC at mid-secondary school level. Student performance. The overall pass level at the general and technical proficiency level for 2009 was 73.78%. This represented a slight increase of 5.32% over the 2008 performance. Five schools attained an overall pass rate at that examination of 80%. And there was St. Joseph's Convent with 98%, St. Mary's College with 96.56%, Newport Comprehensive with 88.69%, Lyon, Health Secondary with 87.12%, and Catholic Comprehensive with 84.87%. All subjects that were written recorded pass rates of above 50%, with the exception of mathematics, which recorded a percentage pass of 44.71%. Madam Speaker, though the CXC results have been encouraging, this type of examination does not cater for the needs and capabilities of all the students who are now attending secondary school. Many principals complain that there are students who cannot read and write, and so are not capable of writing CXC exams. Consequently, CBQs have been implemented in selected secondary schools. The introduction of the CCSLC has also been done, thereby giving students an opportunity for a combination of options involving technical vocational subjects. However, I wish to reiterate that the Ministry of Education and Education has a policy that students should be allowed to do at least 5 subjects, with English and mathematics being compulsory subjects. CAPE and A-level examinations. The overall pass rate for Sir Applewood and Beaufort Comprehensive Secondary School at the advanced level was 75.25%, and Sir Applewood attained a pass rate of 79.93, and Beaufort Comprehensive Secondary School attained a pass rate of 65.50. At the advanced subsidiary level, general paper, the overall pass rate was 96.69%. Sir Applewood attained a pass rate of 96.89, and Beaufort Comprehensive Secondary School a pass rate of 95.92. Whereas CAPE, which is done by the Beaufort Comprehensive Secondary School, attained a pass rate of 82.14. Common entrance examination. 3,102 students wrote the common entrance examination. The national mean was 57.04%. This represented an increase of 4.259% over the mean attained in 2008. However, 1,694 students scored at or above the national mean. With the establishment of universal secondary education, maybe the time has come for the Ministry of Education and Culture to begin to look at the common entrance examination in a different light. Since we are faced with the daunting problem of illiteracy and numeracy at our primary schools, we probably could change the format of the common entrance examination from a common entrance exam to a competency or proficiency based exam at the grade 6 level. This is surely some food for thought. Maybe students should attain a certain level of proficiency before they move on to form one at the secondary school, and therefore when they get to the secondary school, we would not have the problem of principals complaining that they are unable to read or write. Professional development. Quality teaching, increased professionalism, and more effective management through training in accordance with the ministry's priorities was provided. Training in content and pedagogy is essential for the effective teaching learning processes and for the assurance of quality education through development of skills, knowledge, and attitudes. Mass training in summer 2009 for more than 2,000 teachers in the teaching of reading, and summer training for 151 principals and vice principals in clinical supervision. EMSI training was conducted with district officers, principals, teachers, bursars, secretaries, and ministry personnel in the use of software to facilitate greater efficiency in management of schools and the collection, analysis, and dissemination of data. From January to April 2009, 25 teachers from both secondary and primary schools were trained and certified in ICDL for Educators Program. Now, ICDL stands for International Computer Driving License. In August 2000, 15 teachers of information technology received training using the classroom management software called Synchronize. This software has been installed at 6 secondary schools on the island and will be rolled out to all secondary schools in the next 2 years. This software enables teachers to teach using computers without the aid of a projector. The teacher is able to broadcast their screen to students and control what students do on the computer at any given time. 150 times teachers were trained in using the inquiry-based learning, a new approach in the hands-on teaching of science. Training was conducted in basic music theory and practice for 40 classroom teachers who are engaged in general classroom music teaching and choral music education. And I recall that the member for Castries South said we didn't put much money into the School of Music, but we are now putting music into the schools so that the schools would have teachers who are capable of teaching music in the various schools. In September 2009, 6 teachers successfully completed pilot course on education for the democratic citizens offered by the OAS, and 23 were also trained in December. Diversification of the curriculum. We expanded the physical education and music to all primary schools. There were learn to swim classes for schools in District 6, 7, and 8. We introduced the uniform groups, which a member for Castries South also mentioned about. Expansion of the steel pan music in schools that began. Introduction of behavior modification program that was run by UNESCO in some of our schools. Correct position for all secondary schools. In April of last year, the Ministry of Education and Culture organized a CARA exposition for all secondary schools. This expo was held at the George Odlon Stadium. National Skills Development Center. Training programs conducted. Construction for women, where the women learn how to tile and so forth. 112 trainings. HCP, that is Hospitality and Construction Program, 498. POETA, 364. FFA 2, 323. FFA 2004, 260, making a total of 1,557 trainings. And they were trained in 13 different areas. And it included things like beauty therapy, electrical installation, plumbing, AC and refrigeration, greenhouse farming, heavy equipment, auto mechanics, tour guiding, and so on. There were 13 different areas in which those persons were trained. Let me say here, Madam Speaker, it will be recalled that prior to 2007, emphasis on skills training was placed on the hospitality services. But after consultation and discussion with the World Bank, I remember I had discussions with them, it was agreed to expand the program to include ICT, construction, and agriculture. And it was also agreed to decentralize the program and decentralize the training so that this year we were able to train, have skills training at Pathlas and at Shozel. It is also hoped that the appropriate models will be completed so that the program will be in full swing. Plans for the establishment of a training center at Blackburn for our national skills training is also underway. NSCC performance report for 2007-2009, new initiatives and new programs. We have the UNESCO program, USA Project, Caribbean Youth Empowerment Program, Social Framework of Assistance, SSA 2006, we have SSA 2002-2004, we are now going to have SSA 2006. New projects, some of them are ongoing, construction for women, grant from CDB of the tune of $360,000, SAF 2002 grant funding $3 million, SAF 2004 grant funding $10,400,000, POETA, OS ICT, vendor certification $81,507, OECS skills for inclusive growth, $14 million. Hospitality and construction program, grant funding, government of St. Lucia, $1,348,000. Achievement for NSDC, implementation of HOPE project, they work with HOPE through SSDF. Refurbishment of partial center, insurance on building, electronic security system, revitalizing of restaurants in Shozel Art and Craft Center, accreditation of the TVET program, master training of trainers, assessors training, computer lab upgrade, gap audit and auditor training, national soft skills curriculum, auto skills sustainability. Fiscal year 2010-2011. The Ministry of Education, through its mission, has outlined in its education sector development plan, seeks to optimize and sustain economic development and quality of life by creating a wholesome and functional individual who is accepting of civic responsibility and empowered to compete in a global environment. For the Ministry of Education, a greater emphasis must therefore be placed on the provision of quality education for all through increased access, training opportunities, and support at all levels of the education system. Towards the end, the Ministry of Education and Culture operates within the broad framework of a number of global, regional, and sub-regional initiatives. And some of these are UNESCO Education for All Objectives, Summit of the Americas Education Agenda, CARICOM Education Strategy, OECS Education Reform Strategy, among many others. Education for All. The Education for All that was implemented, a framework of action at Dhaka in 2000, set out 6 goals for the education sector. 1, expanding and improving comprehensive early childhood care and education, especially for the most vulnerable and disadvantaged children. 2, ensuring that by 2015, all children have access to and complete free and compulsory education of good quality. 3. Ensuring that learning needs of young people and adults are met through equitable access to appropriate learning and life skills programs. 4. Achieving at least 50% improvement in levels of adult literacy by 2015. 5. Eliminating gender disparities in primary and secondary education by 2005. And achieving gender equality in education by 2050. 6. Improving all aspects of quality of education. UN Convention on the Rights of the Child and the World Summit for Children, which took place in 1990, seeks to address the circumstances of children worldwide. In order to achieve these goals, the Ministry of Education and Culture in St. Lucia has done the following, or has taken the following actions. Improving access and equality. Improving quality and relevance of education. Institutional and professional capacity building. Improving partnership in education. Upgrading Tarfalis to a full-fledged university college. Improving CVET and skills development. The philosophy of the Ministry of Education. The Ministry of Education sees education as a basic human right. An activity that initiates, facilitates, accelerates, and sustains multiple literacies, numeracy, independence and critical thinking, application of science and technology to problem solving, social and economic development. As a major force in the transmission of a common culture and common standards of citizenship, and that parents, the community, and the private sector are partners in the education system. Early childhood education development will cater for learners from 0 to 8 years. Building a strong foundation at that level will provide the necessary grounding for basic education and lifelong learning. And the Ministry of Education would like to see that these goals are attained. Increased access to early childhood education so as to build a strong foundation. Set and raise operational standards within the early childhood sector to improve the quality of education. As you know, early childhood education is mainly private. The government only has responsibility for a few early childhood institutions, and these are daycare. All preschools are mainly private. But what the ministry has done is to ensure that those schools meet certain standards and are regulated. The member for Kasi South spoke about the RCP, and I want to speak to the RCP. The RCP stands for Roving Caregivers Program. This program complements our early childhood daycare and preschool programs. This program now is being sponsored by the Bernard Van Leer Foundation. And as he said, funding will soon come to an end. Now this program is so important that we need support so as to keep it sustained and also to expand that program. And the reason for it is that the RCP provides an opportunity for formal education for infants who otherwise would not have an opportunity for either daycare or preschool programs. And the reason is because they come from vulnerable parents who are not able to afford to pay for these services. And so what the RCP does, it goes out into the community and it works with the children and the parents as well in literacy and communication skills in particular. It gets them to be able to socialize, and therefore in the process, character building is engineered. This is very important because if we can as the member said, if at that early stage we can develop the social skills of those young ones and we can help to form their character so that they can become good citizens and that they can behave as good citizens, it is going to redound to the benefit of society generally, to the benefit of St. Lucia, so that we are beginning to train them to be able to be sociable, to be able to behave, to be able to follow rules and regulations, and therefore I think that is going to help with our crime and violence at a later date. So we are definitely going to support that program, the continuation of that program, but we are asking for support whether the corporate citizens or private citizens would like to invest in these programs to help us expand it and sustain it so that all our young children, our infants, especially in the rural areas, would be exposed to a formal program of education. Primary education. We know that St. Lucia achieved universal primary education some decades ago, and efforts are being made to improve quality and equity through diversifying and creating a balanced curriculum. And some of the goals of the primary school education is increased class supervision and monitoring of instruction at our primary schools, quality teaching and learning and assessment, utilizing a range of strategies and modes of instruction to meet varying learning needs, develop a policy, program, and timetable for co-curricular activities in primary schools, including the visual and performing arts, music, culture, physical education, sports, and uniform groups. Develop critical thinking, problem-solving, inquiry, and creative and other life skills. Introduce modern languages at the primary school, that is French and Spanish education. Improve standards of achievement in mathematics and English language. And you know we have a problem because I mentioned a while ago about principals of the secondary school saying that students come from the primary school not being able to read and write. So we need to work on that, improve the standards of mathematics and English. Strengthen and expand remedial services at that school so that where they have problems of literacy and numeracy, they would get attention to remedy that situation. Establish information communication technologies in primary education, and that we are starting to do. That you have, they get computers, they work on computers at the primary school level. Secondary education. In 2007, the Ministry of Education and Culture helped to attain universal access to secondary education by providing a physical space for every child leaving grade 6 and made efforts to reform the curriculum to reflect national needs. Some of the priorities at the secondary school are: develop and implement an instructional and assessment plan, develop and implement a broad, balanced, and differentiated curriculum instructional and assessment plan, diversify subject offering. Now, instead of making it academic, we need to bring in the technical vocational aspect there and bring in things like the CVQ, national vocational qualification as well. Establish uniform groups and timetable co-curricular activities. Foster social development and positive behavior, that is character building, self-confidence, self-esteem, spirituality, conflict resolution, ethics and civic responsibility. Monitor and evaluate school performance monthly and provide necessary support. Increase enrollment in science and technology subjects at secondary school. That is one of the areas where most of our students are weak at the secondary school. They don't do much of the science. Some of them are afraid to do the pure biology, chemistry, physics, and as you know, a number of them don't do well in mathematics. So we need to get them to be involved more in the science of it. Improve standards of student achievement in all subjects, and in particular, mathematics and English language, where we have problems of literacy and numeracy. special education and students of orthography. There are 5 special education centers in St. Lucia, which cater to the needs of students with learning difficulties or impairments. Currently, the Donata Special Education Center is in a dilapidated state, and plans for its refurbishment is underway. We are hoping to build a new center for Donata. I think a site has been identified, and what is going to happen once plans have been made, efforts will be made to move them from this surrounding and get them into something that is more conducive to learning. Screening of all school entrants in the following areas. We want to do that in screening for vision impaired, hearing impaired, and so that at least we would know what some of the problems that the students face when they enter the school. National framework and policy for school counseling program developed. HIV policy and plan implemented. Tertiary education. The demand for post-secondary and tertiary education in St. Lucia has increased over the years. And in addition to the increase in the number of graduates expected from universal secondary education and the increased cost of tertiary education outside the country, the government of St. Lucia has been in the process to upgrade the Acolis into a full-fledged university college. This was mentioned by the PM. So if you look at his report, you'll see he spoke about this. The upgrade will increase access to post-secondary and tertiary education, which will afford students from poor families a greater opportunity to access tertiary education. Right now, several conferences are being held in relation to higher education through organizations such as UNESCO, OAS, OECS. Recently, there was a conference on higher education right here in St. Lucia, organized by the OECS, Secretariat and UNESCO. Just a few weeks after, there was also another conference on higher education for the Caribbean, organized by UNESCO and OAS in Suriname. And the reason is to try and see whether we can get more persons to access higher education. According to the statistics, below 10% of persons in the Caribbean access tertiary level education. I think the only country or the only island that is doing very well, it has a percentage of about 40%, is Barbados. And the reason is because Barbados has a policy whereby they have created a policy whereby there must be a graduate from every home on the island. And therefore, they are the only ones who have been able to achieve this high level of graduates in the system. But in St. Lucia, it is less than 7%. And as you know, tertiary education is important to stimulate economic growth. It is also important to weed out the level of poverty in your country. Strengthening social cohesion, issues of crime, social safety net, social information, youth issues. The Ministry of Education and Culture is improving the employability and career mobility of youth and other marginalized sections of the population through training, retraining, and enterprise development initiatives. The OECS Skills for Inclusive Growth aims to increase the market value of skills training by introducing competency-based standards approved by the Caribbean Association of National Training Agencies and issuing regional recognized certifications to successful trainees at the end of the training program for occupations within the sectors of hospitality, construction, agriculture, and information communication and technology. The introduction of occupational standards, competency testing, accreditation, and quality assurance of training and certification. enhancing the learning and teaching process of schools, and providing the necessary skills for increased competitiveness in the job market through the employment of ICT. Continuation of employment of ancillary staff. The Ministry of Education has so far appointed 1,001 ancillary staff within the school system. Continuation of the employment of 154 bus drivers on the transportation subsidy program at a cost of $2.8 million. Continuation of employment for 2,138 teachers, 138 vice principals and principals at a tune of $137 million. Creation of employment through major rehabilitation of schools for, at a cost of over $4 million. Computer education program. Diversification of examinations to include, as I mentioned a while ago, CCSLC and CDQs. Investing in project management and institutionalized strengthening of the NSDC by transforming it into a national training agency. Literacy project. The ministry is aware that in St. Lucia, a number of children leave school without the requisite literacy skills and numeracy skills. Additionally, a significant number of children at both the primary and secondary school presently lack the basic literacy competency and as such create a challenge for both teachers and society as a whole. In an effort to combat this scourge, the ministry is exploring different avenues which it deems necessary for alleviating the problem. This project aims at improving learning outcomes in literacy at four secondary schools. Namely, these are Marigold Secondary, George Charles Secondary, Newport Technical Secondary, and Grand Rivier Secondary. The objectives are to prevent illiteracy, provide accommodation for at-risk struggling students, and challenge children that are gifted, sustain a high standard of literacy in schools. We spoke of the assistance program, welfare program. The Prime Minister alluded to that, but I'll just give you an idea. Under the primary book grocery program, in 2007 to 2008, there were 1,012 beneficiaries. In 2009 to 2010, there were 1,100 beneficiaries. In secondary school book grocery program, in 2007-2008, there were 392 beneficiaries, and in 2009-2010, there were 402 beneficiaries. Special beneficiaries, students who receive special bursaries are assisted with their school fees. The fees are paid by the Ministry of Education and Culture, and that includes some students who go to SDA Secondary, CARE, and Donata. There is also a bursary system for students who attend the Sahasalis Community College. And that bursary assists the students in paying their tuition fees, to purchase textbooks, and to pay for transportation. Well, the school feeding program, it was mentioned by the Prime Minister in his delivery, but let me say again, emphasize that there were 77 schools in the program, 65 infant and primary schools, and 11 special schools. And it serves approximately 7,253 students daily. Let me also highlight that we have 77 cooks employed on the program, the school feeding program, each receiving a salary of approximately $1,010 monthly. School guidance and counseling plan. Well, this study was upgraded recently. National framework and policy for school guidance and counseling program and guidance and counseling curriculum is to be developed and implemented. Let me speak about a new program which was introduced in the school. It is called the Why Try program. In November, the Jekyll Charles Group of Companies funded a pilot program, and it was called Why Try in 4 secondary schools in the education of District 2 to the tune of US$10,876. The Why Try program is a strength-based approach to helping youth overcome their challenges and achieve opportunity, freedom, and self-respect by using education and interventions that motivate and create positive change. The program teaches basic life skills principles such as problem solving, stress management, conflict resolution, dealing with peer pressures, and living with laws and rules. Well, the transportation subsidy, as I said, the Prime Minister mentioned it. But let me say that we have 17 schools in that program. 17 schools presently with 2,500 students, and as I said before, 154 drivers. This program has helped to improve the regularity and punctuality within our schools. Between 2004 and 2006, the school dropout at the secondary school had almost doubled. But with the introduction of the bus transportation subsidy, that has improved. Right now, the daily attendance at the secondary school is 84%, and at the primary school, 87%. But this we want to improve. This is not good enough. We want to ensure that all students attend school, and as a consequence, there is an attendance officer. One is not sufficient, and his duty is to go around and to investigate why students don't attend school. But he has to cover the whole island, and we need an additional one at least so that they can do a lot more work than he's doing. But he's doing a very wonderful job. He has been able to get so many students back to school because some parents probably aren't aware of the subsidies that they can receive, the bus and other subsidies from the government. So that is working very well. Literacy numeracy for marginalized communities, that's another program that was also implemented. The Ministry of Education and Culture collaborated with the Bank of St. Lucia and Digicel. Digicel and the Bank of St. Lucia came together with the Ministry of Education to provide training for individuals in disadvantaged and marginalized communities. And the communities that were identified were Canaries.
Honourable Member, you have 7 more minutes to complete your presentation.
Madam Speaker, I beg to invoke the application of Section 3210 to permit the member from Miku South to have an extra 15 minutes to conclude his presentation.
Honourable Members, the question is that Standing Order 3210 be invoked to allow Honourable Member from Miku South an additional 15 minutes to complete his presentation. I now put the question. As many as are of that opinion, say aye. As many as are of a contrary opinion, say no. I think the ayes have it. The ayes have it. Member, you may continue.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Thank you, members. I was speaking about the Literacy University program sponsored by the Bank of St. Lucia itself, and the communities identified, what I said, were Canaries, Bellevue, Anslery, Van Slavas, Fonsejac, and Jackmel. And the primary objectives of that project were to provide marginalized communities with a level of competence that enable them to deal adequately with the complex demands of everyday life in the knowledge-based society. Provide literacy and numeracy skills to approximately 200 adults to enhance their capacity so that they can contribute more effectively to national development. Well, with reference to our libraries, significant renovation works were undertaken at the Central Library, which took care of some of the electrical issues, termite infestation, repairs to doors, windows, replacement of columns and plumbing. Work was also done on a number of branch libraries, Library, Grosley, Denry, Moshi, Super, a number of branch libraries, work was also done there. And then the book mobile service, that has been now increased to 11 communities. Before it served 5 communities, now it is serving 11 communities, and we are hoping that that will be increased further. The annual vacation program for children continues every year, organized, sponsored by the Biodiversity Project of the Ministry of Agriculture, giving children a richer experience in the conservation of the environment. Okay, quickly, let me mention, although this was mentioned in the Prime Minister's presentation, we want to speak of the ERP project and the DEEP project. And I think the Prime Minister alluded to this project, but I would like to mention that the ERP project, it involves, it's an economic reconstruction program. The program involves the rehabilitation of 11 schools, and that was mentioned. We also have the upgrading of the Newport Comprehensive Secondary School, Campus B. Under the BEEP program, you will realize that a loan was secured from the Central Development Bank at an interest rate of 2.5, and for this year, we are going to work on 8 schools, 3 secondary and 5 primary schools, as was mentioned by the Prime Minister. Quickly, let me go on to culture. Of course, I'll just mention a few points. Government helped to cushion the impact of the financial crisis on artists with increased financial and other support to the sector. The sector is now poised to take off as a major industry and boost local and export potential in the national economy. Through the CDF, government has strengthened cultural relations with the islands of the French Antilles. And as you know, the French is not, the French, especially from Martinique, participate in our carnival, and it is getting now more massive and giving a unique Creole flavor to the Saint Lucian festival. Of course, there are a number of activities under the CDF, which happens throughout the year, Artist Square, the Nobel Laureate Week, the Lucia Jazz Festival in May, Carnival in July, La Rose and Marguerite Fest, Creole Heritage Month, St. Cecilia's Day, and so on. So all these activities will continue under the supervision of the CDF. Of training and development, there is a Students Performing Arts Company. It is supported to CAMDU in collaboration with CDF. Ongoing training in steel band playing at the CDF has successfully turned out more and more young Saint Lucians wanting to learn the art of playing band. Public training workshops held in various areas of the for the carnival act, including costume building and the judging of calypso, carnival, and steel band. And of course, there is some seed money put into the budget for the commencement of work on the new cultural facility and the upgrading of the cultural center. Let me now turn to my constituency. I know I don't have much time, but I will quickly. Let me say to my people of Miku South that I want to thank you once again for your support. My position as Minister of Education and Culture keeps me busy in office. as I try to execute my duties with pride and dignity. I promise to serve you with that same pride and dignity and deliver as best as I can. Some of you may not be privileged to see me every day, but I am in the constituency every day. And do not allow anyone to try and make you think otherwise. I ask for your patience and understanding in this critical time. I am aware of your needs. Whatever is not yet done in the constituency affects me and troubles me the same way as even more as it affects you. Eventually, we will get it all right. It may be slow in coming, but I am committed to having it done, and I will deliver. Roadworks, you know, we have done relief work on a number of our roads. We will continue to do so. What we need to do is to put in more concrete drains to prevent the water from running on the roads and eroding the roads. For your feeder roads, we are working with the Ministry of Agriculture to ensure that the feeder roads are addressed, the Degatia Road, the Chukuma Road, and so forth. As soon as the funds are available, work will commence in that regard. The Derisa Highway, let me tell you, my people, work on this road will commence soon. Very, very soon. I have so far obtained permission from landowners in the area, in the Asia area, so that materials can be stored. The contractors who were there yesterday, the people of the Ministry of Communications and Work are on site today. And I'm hoping by next week we will commence your road. With your water problem, I have very good news for you. We have purchased a 100,000 gallon tank, thanks to the Taiwanese for their assistance. The tank is on island. The land has been acquired. What has happened so far? The area has been cleared and access to road has been cut to the site, and the foundation for erecting the tank is now being constructed. So you will have your tank set up soon, and I hope with this you will be able to get pipeline water. So these are good news if you are road and you are water. Two major projects I know that you are waiting for a long time. We will also, for this year, do the completion of the multi-purpose court in Lakoville, which we started. We could not complete because of the retaining walls we had to put to prevent erosion and water. We will complete works on the Lesefa Park in Siroche, which we commence. The toilet block has already been completed, so we will continue the work. We will also work on the relighting of the Derisa multi-purpose court. That has not happened because we understand that the disconnection was made because of non-payment of outstanding bills. But we understand that the Ministry of Sports has made an allocation to the Youth and Sports Council to solve the matter, but this has not yet been resolved, so we'll be looking to that. We also want to say that the Miku South District Council is working well. They're in the second year, and of course, they were instrumental in organizing independent activities this year. So far, they have set up two bus shelters, and I think that's very useful, one in the Asia area and one in the Tiroshi area. We are hoping that through the council to get additional land, approximately 5 acres, to be acquired for the expansion of the Derisa Cemetery. As you know, the present burial ground is disorganized and congested, and the new addition of land will provide a scope for a regulated and systematic use of the cemetery. So that we are hoping to do this year. Our plans have started. We also did work in the constituency on all our schools, the three primary schools in the constituency, the secondary school, we did work on that. We also did some work on the Tiroshi playing field. You know, it was in a bad state. We hope to continue to do more work this year on those schools and on the playing field. And because of the work done on the playing field, the Tiroshi Combined School was able to have its first meet on that field this year. Agriculture, we are hoping to convert the Asia Rural Center into an agro-based depot. We are now speaking with the Ministry of Agriculture. Plans are being laid where we will have the place renovated and converted to an agro-processing depot where you will do agro-processing and also where you'll be able to sell your produce. We are hoping that we will be able to form a cooperative to take care of this plant. And I've also been speaking with the Ministry of Agriculture. There's also a lot of land around this area, and we are trying to see whether we can use some of the young people in this area to form a small cooperative to utilize the land, because the land is idle, where they can use that land to grow some of the produce that can be used for processing. So this we are going to look into. For the youth, I want to encourage you to take the opportunity to make yourself available to source skills training from the NSCC. Right now the NSCC is sort of decentralizing its activities. There is a center that will be put up in Black Bay. We are hopeful that I can come on stream this year. We know that training was also done in Chouazelle at the Attencourt Center. Training was also done in Pasteur. And the training does not only involve hospitality studies, it involves construction, it involves ICT, and it involves agriculture, like greenhouse farming and this kind of thing. So I want you to make yourself available, that you can apply. If you don't know how, you can come in and see me. We can work together so that you can source those skills through the NSCC. I must commend those persons. I know some persons traveled as far as Chouazelle to take advantage of the skills being offered there, and some traveled to Pasteur. And speaking to them, I think now that they have skills, that some of them can even begin to do things on their own rather than trying to get employment. They can do things using the skills that they have obtained from the NSCC. So I would like to implore some of you to go that route and ensure that you get yourself some skills which will become useful to you in the future. Let me once again thank my people of Miko South for their support, and hope that they will continue to work with me to ensure that we do what is necessary for the upliftment of the constituency. Thank you.